People like to say that our country is founded on Judeo-Christian principles, and sometimes we think we know what those are, but we're not always familiar with them. So we're looking at some biblical principles, and particularly how they apply to bringing up children in this series. We looked at compassion last week, and today we look at the D word, discipline, as we head into Hebrews chapter 12, and I'll be beginning at verse 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you have not discipline, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, let your word discipline each of us so that we might experience that harvest of righteousness and peace here and in the hereafter. Amen. The September 17th issue of U.S. News and World Report tells us that there's a book that was deemed so important by a coalition of educators and PTA leaders that they were sending it to all 2,500 school principals in the state of Minnesota. Now, Dr. David Walsh was the psychologist who wrote this book, and he was from Minnesota. But advocates were hoping that, not to promote Dr. Walsh's career, but that this book would land in the hands of every child-rearing adult in their state. What was the revolutionary subject of this book? It's all summed up in the title. No. Why kids of all ages need to hear it, and ways parents can say it. See, children are being raised in a yes culture today, and experts are warning us we're not doing them any favors by always giving in, by always saying yes. Now, of course, there's marketing experts out there who are trying to convince you and your children that delayed gratification isn't necessary. Never mind that it's been the secret of success for centuries to teach us to control our impulses and to harness back those immediate desires. We have everything that's now available on demand. Microwave popcorn, movies on demand from your cable station, download songs instantly for your personal music player. We have a generation of children who have learned they can have it the way that they want it immediately. And so we've indulged toddlers to teenagers. Unprecedented affluence of our age, absence of mom and dad from the home, we probably have one of the biggest me generations we've ever raised in our culture. So Dr. Walsh joins this long list of experts who are trying to sound the alarm and point us in another direction. Now, I have to admit, Dr. Walsh's book was just published, so I have not read it, but I did read the U.S. News and World Report article on it. I think he could have easily been inspired by what we heard from Hebrews if he wanted the spiritual backing for his thoughts and for his talk. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. A friend of mine, as he entered medical school, memorized that verse. That became his theme verse, as he's had to spend hours and hours in the library. He's had a very successful medical career for 30 years now because he started out with discipline. Ever take over the division of a company that was running amok? It takes managerial discipline to put it back in order. Ever have a contentious group in the club or the PTA? It usually takes order and discipline to pull things back into shape. Ever work with someone whose finances were a mess? It takes more than a healthy infusion of cash. It takes discipline to get them back on a plan of setting aside monies for bills and monies for savings. What does it take? It takes discipline. And discipline is a fundamental skill that needs to be learned if you want to have a peaceful and harmonious life. We know that. We don't like it. We certainly don't want to have to impose it on others, but it's there. I don't know if you've ever flipped through TV one boring night and found Super Nanny on TV, but it's kind of an interesting show. We've hit it a few times, and it's a woman, a British nanny actually, who is called into certain family homes to rescue them from run amok toddlers, you know? And what she essentially has to do is help parents tackle all those tough issues like bedtime routines, sibling rivalry, children who won't eat their vegetables, and so on and so forth. Super Nanny has become a wildly popular show because basically she's selling good old discipline and how it will bring harmony to the home and peace to those parents when they can apply it wisely and consistently. Discipline brings harmony anywhere that we can bring it into order, whether it's the home, the school, the church, the military, you name it, we need it. Now, as much as this principle makes sense to us, don't be too hard on yourself if somehow your children have slipped out the door and grown up without consistent discipline. It's happened to a lot of us. You see, the message of discipline was sort of missing from American society for a period of years. From the 1940s to the 1960s, the only voice really weighing in on the child-rearing front was Dr. Benjamin Spock. How many have ever read his Baby and Child Care? Don't be embarrassed. It was the only book out there. They sold 50 million copies of that book. Okay? And he certainly taught us to be tender and to be responsive to our children. But he wasn't a strong advocate necessarily of always saying no. So in 1970, a psychologist from Southern California made a name for himself when he reacted to the freedom of the 60s, and he wrote a book called Dare to Discipline. Think it sold much? 4 million copies later, Dr. Dobson is a household name. It launched his radio and his speaking career. Now, besides Spock and Dobson, there are other good books to turn to. I particularly like the humorous psychologist Kevin Lehman and his book, How to Make Children Mind Without Losing Yours. There's also the great pair that I've quoted in the back of your bulletin today, Henry Cloud and John Townsend, who have written a lot of books on the subject called boundaries. Understanding boundaries, learning to set up appropriate restrictions on your own life and your children is very important. Cloud and Townsend's first book about personal boundaries said if you're not watching for your own health and well-being, if you let people make demands of you that have stressed you out completely, you may have boundary issues. You need to be able to set your own limits and have your own self-discipline. Well, in the introduction to their book on boundaries with children or with kids, Dr. Townsend shares about an exchange he had with his 7-year-old son. "What's this new book you and Henry are writing?" asked 7-year-old Ricky. "It's about boundaries and kids," his dad replied. Ricky let that sink in, and then he said reflectively, "I like to say boundaries. I don't like to hear them." No discipline is pleasant, but painful at the time. Even Ricky understood that about life. Dr. Townsend tells another story in this book. He reminds us that any choices we make today have future implications, particularly for raising children. And he was having dinner one night at a friend's house, and the wife got up and left the table, and then the husband took a phone call, and so he's left there alone. He said, "I'll go find out what the wife's doing. I'll go help her with whatever she's doing for the evening." He went around the house and found her in her 14-year-old son's room, picking things up and making his bed. Standing in the doorway, he made an observation that maybe only a visiting psychologist would make. He said, "I feel sorry for your son's future wife." The wife froze for a minute, said, "I'd never thought of it like that." You see, the less personal responsibility we require of our children now, the more they demand and expect of other adults in their life later. So why do we jump in and help our children? Why do we rescue them? Why do we put off challenging them or disciplining them? Well, psychologists said sometimes we're working out of our own need to be needed, and sometimes we're not thinking of the behaviors we're reinforcing and the future problems we'll solve. And sometimes we feel our job as parents is to solve problems, but the problem is we're not raising problem solvers when we do that. And so children arrive at primary school never having to share because somehow two toys were always bought for two children. And they arrive at high school not knowing how to schedule time wisely because we always bail them out at the last minute. Or they arrive at college not knowing how to clean their clothes because someone's always been there buffering life for them. Discipline, instilling habits of self-control, is really our job. And the sooner we do that, the easier life gets for everyone. And yet it just takes a little bit of planning and purpose. In our home, about the middle school age of life, my wife instructed our children how to do their clothes, how to launder them. They were free to use the laundry anytime they wished. And that way, the special shirt was always done on time because they took responsibility for it. And probably she did that because she had two working parents and she learned independence much sooner than I did. I first did my laundry the first day I got to college. And little did I know that if you put a red bedspread in with your white underclothes, you have pink underwear for your whole freshman year. But I learned. There are easier ways to learn that lesson, and that's train them up early on. Our eldest son remembers when he first learned to do his laundry. It was when he and his brother had a common pot of clothes that they would pick from, and his younger brother picked his favorite shirt the last day of elementary school, took it to school, and let teachers and friends sign it with a permanent marker. He was upset noticeably. We said, well, there's one way to solve this. Do your own laundry, and it goes in your own drawer, and therefore your brother doesn't touch it. And so he was willing to take responsibility and learn that. Now, how do we get to that point with them? Well, I wanted to say our children weren't perfect. They were childish children. They did things that children do, and we made mistakes. But I think it came from sticking to three important principles. And we've seen that they have turned out to be pretty reasonable adults at this point. So I commend these principles to you if you're looking for some to steer by. The first principle I'd say is this. I encourage all parents to be committed to loving discipline. Be committed to loving discipline. Discipline without love is just stern and cold. Love without discipline is impotent and weak. But when you forge these two together, they make the secure, strong place for children to learn their own boundaries and to grow up learning discipline in their life. Loving discipline is really God's way of dealing with us. The scriptures tell us that God is compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And even if you've had hard times in your life, I bet you can think of positive blessings that God has given to you. God's love is there every day. The next time you can't fall asleep, try just counting all the blessings, all the ways things could have gone worse and how God's reversed that in your life. And I think you can probably go pretty long into the night with those blessings that have been there. Well, God blesses us and He loves us, and yet He still disciplines us. He allows us to understand that life has consequences. If you don't work hard, you may lose your job. It doesn't matter if you're a minister or an accountant or a teacher or a sales exec. Hard work is related to keeping a position. If you don't pay your bills, you'll lose your credit rating. There are consequences in this life. God allows us to be disciplined by them. If you eat poorly, if you don't exercise, your body will wear out before someone who took care of their body. God allows us to experience consequences, positive and negative, and so that's part of His discipline in our lives. Loving discipline means to help your children with those consequences, but also to buffer them from your temper. One of the things that helped me in life was watching a father who had three young children who was a bit ahead of me. And this was a big, burly man who taught shop to high school students. So he had some disciplinary cases of older students as well. And I asked him, what's your secret? How do you handle your kids? Because I find my kids just are the worst when I come home, when I'm at my worst. And it just doesn't make for good encounters. And he said, oh, here's the secret, Sam. When I find out one of them's been in trouble or been doing something naughty, I say, that deserves a punishment. You go to your room and you wait for me. And he said, then I take some time Because number one, the anxiety begins the punishment right then and there. And he said, number two, it allows me to get my temper calmed down for when I encounter and then mete out the punishment. And I learned from Matt how to dial down my anger and how to dial up my love, even when I had to have a disciplinary encounter with one of our children. Be committed to loving discipline. Number two, I would say be committed to consistent discipline. This is hard. Much of our struggle in life is to be consistent. But children need to know that there are rules and the rules apply to all. And if there's some reason for some exception, that reason will be explained to them. But we're committed to consistent discipline. As our children were growing up, we had to tell them, look, not everything that every other child gets are you going to get. It doesn't automatically come your way. And in our household, driving was not automatic just because the state said you were of age. In fact, we knew our children could do pretty well in school, so we said 3.5 means you drive. Now, there was one child, that's the grade point average, in case you're wondering what that refers to. There was one child who would get a little slow and slack on things, and my wife came up with some other rhymes. 3.2 just won't do. 3.4, drive no more, you know? The standard was the standard. Well, by the time the third child came along and he had reading difficulties, we had to change the standard a little bit. He still had to work as hard as the others, and he still had a standard to set. We also had our children contribute to their car insurance because they needed to begin to be a responsible adult. And so if they earned the good student discount, they paid less. And if they failed the good student discount, they paid more. And so there was different ways in which we let them begin to see consequences. The more you can let life's consequences come into their life, the faster they learn. And so it's important to not buffer them all the time. So the next time your student is in trouble with a teacher, maybe you should let them twist a little bit there and experience that, particularly if they were late with their work regularly. They need to feel the consequences. Now, consistent discipline is hard on us as parents. It means that we have to do the hard work. If we wanted to ground our child, it meant that we had to stay home. It means that if some child doesn't get dessert because they wouldn't finish the family dinner and they're in pain and suffering while the others are delighting in whatever the dessert was, we have to let that happen. Cloudon Townsend said, if you're not willing to let your children feel a little bit of the pain of life, maybe you need to look at what's going on inside of you. Because they will feel pain one place or another. And it's helpful to feel the little things early on so they don't feel pain in the big areas when they have to take adult responsibility. Compassion is one thing, but if we consistently rescue our children from tough times, their lives will hurt in the long run. You know, we've heard Hebrews 12:11, and as it was written in the scriptures, you could also translate it on the opposite direction. Having no discipline in your lives is fun and easy, but later it brings a life of heartache and pain to those who have been indulged like this. It's true one way or the other. And so we want to learn how to bring discipline into our children's lives. Well, loving discipline, consistent discipline, last principle I'd say, give your children choices but allow consequences as part of the disciplinary process. The older the children became, the more we realized we couldn't make them do anything. You know, you can't make them do something they don't want to. So in the end, they didn't have to clean their room. They just couldn't have friends over until the room was clean. So they could choose friends or clean room, whichever they were willing to do. You can't make a child save money, but you can teach them that only some things will come if they save their allowance. And so hold some things back and maybe match the savings that they put away so you reward the behaviors you're looking for. Find out what it is that children really desire and then pair that up with things that you want done. You can see that show after the homework's completed. You can go out and see that friend after the task has been finished for the day. Don't give in, though, if they fail to make the goal and give them the reward. Holding on is the hard line of discipline. Well, Hebrews is right. No discipline is pleasant. You know, it's why people would rather use credit than save. It's why we'd rather gain pounds than diet. And yet discipline is a skill that needs to be learned, practiced, and passed on to each generation. And I think even if you're a single parent, you can practice discipline in your home. And even if you're a divorced parent, you can practice discipline under your roof. And sure, if you can get both parents under both roofs to agree to the same principles, it's much better for the child. But I really believe that the child needs you to be a parent. You'll be a pal later on once they've sensed what you were trying to do in their life with discipline. Discipline helps us train our children to find those resources within, to meet the challenges that lie ahead. Last week we looked at compassion. This week we've looked at discipline. Next week we're going to look at the importance of caring outside of our homes for the children of the world. And so we'll begin to see how God wants to shape our lives for others that we can reach and touch. But I hope that each one of us would see that God wants to bless us through each of these values and virtues that we have the opportunity to pass on to the next generation. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word today. It's not an easy word, and yet it's a word by which you have trained us. And so help us to have wisdom and love and patience in passing on the lessons of discipline to any we can. And help us to be disciplined ourselves through the power of your gracious Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.